But now then, we've got another special treat this morning, this evening.
Morning somewhere.
Somebody's agreeing with me that it's morning?
Is that you? It's morning.
So this gentleman we found several years ago, and we didn't let him leave. We kind of shackled him down so he'd have to stay here with us. And because of him, we've had some wonderful boat rides right out there in the fishing ocean. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We've got out there and seeing the moon and the city lights come together out there over the water. And he's so capable. You don't have to worry when you're on the boat with this guy. And so we can crowd on there pretty good. But more than that, he's doing his very best to walk in the walk that God wants him to walk in. And I think he's doing a pretty good job. And this is our Dave Hamill.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm pleased to be here with everyone tonight. And Millie, thank you for allowing me to come up and share my thoughts with everyone. I gave my thought, speech title tonight. It's called Break It So You Can Fix It. So many of you know that I had major trauma to my right leg last spring. And I believe it was a huge turning point in my life. And that these so-called negative events often contain value and wisdom. And if we are willing to seek out their hidden treasure. So some background information to my story. As I look back when I was writing this, in an effort to figure out how in the world I got to this place in my life, I have only recently recognized that for at least the past 17 years, I've been out without a clear focus, without clear goals, and most importantly, without a passion for what I was doing in life. And then the life coach part of me chimes in and goes, well, how's that been working for you, Dave? And most recently, I was barely showing up in a job that I didn't like. And I was blaming my boss for everything around that, my lack of joy, energy, and for my being unhappy. My happiness I validated through whether or not there was money in my bank account, how my relationships made me feel, and how much time I spent not working. Progress in my spiritual life was spotty, and I felt that my connection with Source was weak because of my lack of integrity, passion, and commitment. In short, I wasn't taking responsibility for my life, or my passion, my joy, or for the amount of love in my life. And over a period of time, this became what my life looked like instead of a temporary aberration that I would soon improve. Well, how it was that I did not love or appreciate myself, and I was dependent on others for feedback and validation. My image was false and basically designed to make others feel good about Dave so that I could feel good about me. I have been for years on my external search for internal answers. How's that working for me? And my focus was always on the outside world. I was seeking myself and my answers in my relationships. With friends, I wanted you to be bright and articulate, respected, funny, well-read, and successful in hopes that I could see me and feel okay about me by seeing me and you. My work was never really based on what I really wanted to do or my own desires, but on who would allow me to work for them so I could get respectability from who the company was rather than what I wished to be doing. How's that working for you, Dave? In my career, I'd go to work at 9 a.m., go to lunch at 11:30, take an hour and a half, be back at 1, and 4 o'clock, I was out of there. I kept seeing reasons why I couldn't have a work life that I felt connected with and didn't understand that I could be doing my work from a place of honoring and respecting that work and my efforts, no matter what the work was. I was happy on paydays and unhappy shortly thereafter because the money never seemed to quite stretch to the next payday, let alone having anything to set aside. And I'd eat lunch out every day during the week to escape from my office and feel better about myself in that moment. How was that working for me? In relationships, once again, I was looking for another reflection of love I couldn't find in myself. When I wasn't feeling love from her, I was empty because I wasn't providing any love for me. I depended on getting positive validation from another so that I could feel good about myself. And being in the now meant that I was focused on how I was being treated right now so that I could feel good about me. And when I received less than what I wanted or needed, or when she was working on herself, I didn't have the self-love to carry me through. It was ugly. How's that working for you, Dave? My self-image, I was concerned with looking good. Appearances were what mattered, style over substance. Unfortunately, poor Dave couldn't get it right. Never had the ideal job. Couldn't keep the ideal woman. Never had enough money. The right car. Couldn't stop seeing what was wrong instead of what was right. I was living with me, and I just didn't realize I didn't like me. Inauthentic. I was producing disjointed results in all areas of my life. Looking for what is wrong rather than what is right has become my default setting and outlook on life. In my spiritual life, I had some progress, but it was in fits and spurts. No true knowledge or foundation or grounding. And being judgmental and unhappy, I put on the happy face program so that I could hide my shortcomings and not have to look at what was there. I used to sit in Millie's Tuesday night class. I still sit there, but at this point I was sitting there. And I'd sit in my chair and I'd get grumpy. And I'd grumble to myself about the other people in class. And they were getting stuff and I wasn't getting stuff. Or I'd see their shortcomings and wonder why I wasn't getting anything. How's that working for me? My connection to Spirit did start getting better, thanks to Spirit, not to anything I was doing. And it was drawing me forward to become more than I was. This made it increasingly uncomfortable for me to continue being who I was. My shell was beginning to crack open. And not by my conscious choice, believe me, but by this deeper part of me that is unconditional love. I was starting to get connected. The story of the shift is that last April, while I was working on my car, the jack shot out from the car, underneath the car, with a loud bang, and the car landed on my right lower leg. I wasn't touching the car at that moment. Bang. The car crushed, fractured both bones in my leg, a couple of inches above my ankle, and I spent a week in the hospital staring at two big bolts drilled into my shin and a rod that was inserted completely through my heel so that they could stabilize this crush area. I was on strong narcotics for pain every 2 hours, round the clock, while awaiting another surgery to implant plates in my leg so to give it stability until the fractures healed. The injury was so severe that my surgeon told me that even just a few years ago, this injury was an automatic amputation. and thanks to the skill and training of the surgical team, my leg is healed beautifully, and it's almost back to full strength and use. More blessings. So I continued to take these pain medications for the next 4 weeks or so, because the pain was very constant and very strong. And what the drugs focused me on was, where was my next pill coming, when was that going to happen, and on myself. I thought little about my caregiver other than she was there when I needed her, and I was in a seemingly unreal drug-aided reality that actually helped me separate from my old routines. I spent my days on my back with my leg elevated and only got out of the bed in the beginning to go to the bathroom. I was mostly helpless and needed help to get out of bed. Standing up on my good leg and feeling the blood rush into my hurt leg caused intense pain for the first 10 days. I used to make sure I'd had a couple of pills in before I knew I was going to have to stand up because it was so bad. I needed help being bathed, changed the bed, go to the bathroom, and of course I had to have all my meals made and brought to me. The 15 steps to the ground floor of the townhouse seemed daunting, my world separate. As I often lay in bed listening to the sounds outside as if they were unreachable. I wasn't present to much in that state. And as I was healing, life was going on. Bills were piling up around me. I wasn't working on any level but healing physically, and my outstanding commission checks were soon to be exhausted. I don't think anyone would consciously ever choose to have an injury of this magnitude and have their life disrupted so completely. The resulting changes, being out of work and being unable to work for months, living by myself again and not being involved in a relationship, all gave me the time and the isolation that I needed to stop and to really look at my life. I see that by being crippled physically for a while, I could finally see how crippled I've been emotionally. And I believe that everything happens for a reason, and now I had to find that reason, find the treasure that was hidden inside my dark feelings of having my life so violently changed. What shifted was when I started to see that there must be something positive in these events. That change of perspective lent power and lessened my resistance to seeing what might be there for me. I came to see that without this major rerouting of my path, I would still be seeing everything in my life through my old lens, one that is marked with distortions from my past. Looking at life through the lens of past events kept me repeating unproductive behaviors, believing that I was the story that I kept telling myself, not good enough, unlovable, a piece of junk that uses people, bad with money, needy, can't do it himself, and on and on and on and on. In my physical recovery, I had to depend on others for my basic care and feeding, and I was blessed with Lori, the sweetest caregiver, who took care of me as she would take care of a child, as I was often a child. As I grew stronger and was able to get around better, I wanted to do things for myself and not depend on others, as I didn't want to feel weak, and I was basically sick and tired of being sick and tired. And there were times when I was too proud or too bullheaded to ask for help, and I was lucky not to have caused further injury to myself on several occasions. At some point, I remembered that when I was able to help another, it was a blessing to me. And I saw that in not asking for help, I was isolating myself, reinforcing not just the old story about myself, but my lack of self-worth. And I started to accept the help that so many of you offered, and you know who you are, and appreciate those kindnesses and see the blessings in giving and receiving help. And being on crutches is a very interesting experience because it sends out to the world your status. and it exposed me to the help and warmth of total strangers, opening doors, asking for help. For a man of my age, it's very disconcerting to have a woman come and open a door for me, because that's my job. But I began to believe that this was part of who we all are, this innate desire to reach out and help others when we see a way to help and be of service. Well, how it is now is that the old me that was hiding behind my looking good facade has eroded away. Combinations of struggling to produce income, difficulty in getting a new job, not being able to pay off old debts, and being behind on current bills have stripped me of my pretensions and left me able to look at myself without making excuse for my failures and shortcomings. I look back and see where I should have been more focused on producing results. I've given up the drama of seeing myself as less than whole, of needing someone else to help me feel better about me. I'm seeing that the choices I've made have brought forth my current circumstances, and now my challenge is to stay out of the pit of not good enough. I've found the self-love I never allowed myself to know by finally accepting that I am not my old story, and by surrendering to my higher self that I am one with God. I see that I have been a product of my old story, and I am not any more special than anyone else. In finding self-love, I have realized, that the love I projected onto Lori was within me all the time. By projecting it onto her, I was able to see it for myself, finally, and to find it within me. Her reflection of my love is a wonderful gift that has helped me to see inside my heart and to the love that resides there. I look forward to the challenge of recreating myself in the image of who I believe now I am, an eternal individuation of God who is loved beyond comprehension by our source. Seeing myself now as whole, complete, yet still evolving, and knowing that if I am present in my life, present to my challenges as they arise, and present to who I really am, then I do have the abilities, the intelligence, the desire, and most importantly, the loving connection to my higher self, to rise above what has always held me back, my old, untrue story of who I am. By accepting me as one with Source, the old story of struggling to produce income, job difficulties, debt repayment, all shrinks down to the level of what needs to be done. Before the shift, I saw them as part of me, part of what was wrong with Dave. That is no longer true. These issues do not cause me the turmoil and upset I used to experience as I see that they were never me. They never really were me. They were just my fearful ego's way of keeping me playing small so that my ego stayed in charge. Today I feel so much stronger. I am not a victim of having a car fall on me, causing a major injury and disruption in my life. I am the beneficiary of receiving a sweet wake-up call from the universe. I am grateful that I have been able to see myself in a totally new and empowered way. I'm dropping thought patterns that are negative and discordant. And most of all, I am able to see Dave in a wonderful, loving way, a way that for the first time in many years beckons to me and excites me. I have long prayed for a life that inspires me, and I finally believe I am on the track to creating that inspired life. So thank you. The name of my book is Break It So You Can Fix It. I'll be signing books and CDs around the corner here afterwards. Thank you very much.